For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, April 19th, 1987. Final service of Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Twyla Fox and Tommy Cook are the ministries this morning.
With where I left off yesterday in Deuteronomy, I'll just read it to you. Remember, the Lord had spoken to Moses. And he said in the 5th chapter, the 30th verse, go say to them, get you to your tents. Just go home. He wanted them to have a heart to serve him, and they didn't have it. A heart to love him, because if you love him, you will serve him. And they didn't have it, so he said, go tell them, just go home. But as for thee, stand thou here by me, and I will speak unto thee. There is a place in God that a few saints from every generation have found. And I believe there is an increasing number of saints in these latter days finding that place in God. There are those who go to church all of their lives and never find this place in God. For there's something that never happens between the head and the heart. It never gets on down past the head. It's just law and legalism and duty, and they feel better if they do it. And it never somehow arrives at the place that God has prepared. The Lord reminded me of Elijah. Elijah, you remember, had the call of God on him in a mighty way. And he had chosen, under the Spirit of the living God, his protege, his successor, his follower. For the Lord said, I'm going to take you home. Going to tell him, your day is done. I'm going to call you up. And so Elijah, in following around, his servant Elisha followed very closely everywhere he went. And Elijah, on the day that he was to go, he said, tarry here, I pray thee. And the Lord sent him from one place to another. Each one of those places was symbolic of something which I won't go into now. But Elijah kept saying to Elisha, tarry here. You just wait here. But Elisha said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. He knew the place. He knew the place, and he wasn't going to be robbed of it. He wasn't going to be cheated. And so he said, I am not going home. I'm not going to go back to my tent. I'm going with you. And there are a few today who are saying, Lord, I'm going with you. I'm going to press in. I'm going to get all that you've ordained for me to have. And so they press in and they go on. Then the Lord took me and he showed me Ruth. You remember Ruth went down because of the famine in the land of Israel. She and her husband and her two sons went down to the land of Moab. As Brother Tommy preached the other night, a place of mixture. We might say mixed up people. Do you know any mixed up people? The whole world is mixed up. But unfortunately, some of them in the church are mixed up, because they're a mixture of the things and the traditions of the world and the doctrines of men and theological positions and so forth, and the education and the training of men, so that they're a mixture of the Word of God and the power of God, and they do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. There are many Scriptures in here that only began to be unveiled to my eyes within the past year. And my, how changed it makes this individual that stands before you. But we find that Ruth went down, and she took her two sons and husband, and she got down there in the land of Moab. Her husband died, and the boys had gotten married, so they had wives. And then the boys died, and there was only Ruth and her two daughters-in-law. And I suppose she heard that the famine was over back in Israel, so she decided she'd go home. She didn't have any other reason to stay down there, and I'm sure it was the Lord who directed her to go back home. And she had these two daughter-in-laws. She said, I don't have any more sons. I'm too old. I don't have a husband. She said, go back to your tent. Just go on back home to your mother's house. And she said, I'll go back to my people. And the two daughter-in-laws, one of them wouldn't go, as you recall. Naomi was one, and Ruth was one. They both said, oh, no, we'll stay with you. We'll go with you. And she said, oh, no. She said, I don't have any more sons. I'm not likely to have any. Go back home. Go back to your tent. And let me tell you, don't ever turn back from following Jesus. There's nothing at home. There's nothing back in the tent. Just keep pressing on with the Lord Jesus. And one went back, Naomi did, but Ruth, she wouldn't go. She was like Elisha, and she was like Moses. And she said in the first chapter, in verse 16, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. She said, don't even ask me to leave you. That's what she was saying. Don't even ask me to leave you. Don't entreat me not to leave thee or to turn away from following after thee. For where thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And here we find again a picture of what the Christian is to be. We're to press in and follow Jesus. You know, Jesus said to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But how many Christians we find who turn around and walk back and don't, they taste, and they turn and distracted by the world and they go back. I'd like now to turn to Psalms 27. We go to another man of God who had found that place, and there's much symbology in Ruth and Naomi having to do with our day, but I won't go into that. But we find David was a man after God's own heart, and in verse 27, verse 4, you know, he had met the Lord, I'm sure, and known of his presence in the quietness of the hillsides and the meadows where he pastured the flocks of sheep that he tended. He was one of the younger ones. The older boys had gone on to more important assignments, and he had the least important assignment. And you may feel today that you've been overlooked, and that maybe by the people of the church, and you may be misunderstood, feel that way, and you may feel that you've been relegated to a relatively small ministry, a relatively small place. Only time will tell the effect of your being in that little place. Only time will tell of the lives that are touched by your presence in that spot where you are now living, where you now minister, and you will someday come to know of that. As you are faithful over whatever God gives you, you will reap in due season, and you will find the fruit of your labors coming forth. I just feel to say that to some of you. And so in the times that David was assigned to a rather simple task of taking care of the sheep, that was his school. Do you know that? That was his schooling of the Holy Spirit. For there, he found time alone with God. How many times do you not find time for God as you're under the roof of your own house? Because there's the ironing, there's the washing for you ladies. There's always something to clean. There's always some other task to be done. And for you gentlemen, there's the yard. It either has to be mowed or raked. And the leaves, it has to have something done to it. There's always duties and tasks calling to you there that will war with your spirit going on with Jesus. And it's when we get away at a place like this that those things can't reach you. They can't call to you. And so it's important to go out. Come ye out, you know, and be separate for a season unto the Lord. And as Tommy said last night, come apart or you'll come apart. You know, come apart and rest. And, you know, I think the Hebrews had a sabbatical year that they took. And I think that might be nice to have sort of a whole year's vacation. Did you ever think of it? But there is need for us to come apart from our daily life and our daily walk. And, oh, we sometimes get to be workaholics. We get so driven in the natural. And we get so busy accomplishing things that we think are necessary, that are going to do good. But in the long run, the most important thing is your personal growth in the Lord, is your finding that place in Him and coming into Him. I usually see two or three patients a day. The Lord has changed my life drastically. I'm not in full-time practice of psychiatry anymore. I think if I were, it would kill me, because it would kill the spirit that is in me. Because that much garbage being programmed into my head wars with my spirit. So I see sometimes two or three, I have a few bills to pay. So we see two or three patients a day. It is enough to keep the wolf from the door, praise the Lord. But I need to spend my time with him. I need to have my mind clear that I might hear from him. And it is somewhat of a financial sacrifice, but I wouldn't have it any other way. Praise the Lord. So I like to get in the spirit, in my place in him. This place is what I'm trying to drive you to call you to whet your appetite for. It's a place in the spirit. And as you come into that place, he will minister to you. He will purge, cleanse, sanctify you, and build himself into your house, and even in a greater measure than he would if you whipped onto the dishes and all the phone calls and all of those kinds of things. He'll just stand and wait. He'll just step aside and stand in the wings and wait until you get through with all of that busy activity. And it so happens he has a way of knowing who's coming to see me that day. He knows how much of him is going to have to be poured out. He knows how little I have to bring to bear upon the issue. And so those days it seems he makes himself especially precious to me, and he enlarges my place with him that morning. I will linger there a little bit longer, and the experience will be a little bit more intense that day. And then when I get up and I go from there, the holy mantle is still about me, and I try not to jog it, you know, and to unsettle it. And as I go into my office on those days, I can know that he's sending someone who is in a special need of deliverance or of healing, or of the word of knowledge that comes through him, not me, myself, not my mind, but his mind. And usually there are fantastic deliverances on those days. And you know, I don't have to work at it. I don't have to push. In fact, I hardly listen to them. I hardly listen to them because my ears are tuned toward heaven. I listen to the Lord. And then as he puts the unction on me, and I'll feel an urgency to get up and go over and lay my hands upon them. I'll feel as though I can hardly wait. And my mind says, they're not going to understand, you know. But in my heart, I know that God is ready. So I've learned whether they understand or not. And usually they're all Christians at this point who come to see me. I'll get up and I'll go over and I'll say, may I pray for you now? And I usually will ask them, may I touch you? And then as we begin to pray for them, the Holy Ghost begins to fall. And I begin to speak forth with the rhema word of God, breaking chains and darkness, you know. We're just practicing that kind of a divine, supernatural kind of practice. And they're set free. But it's because of the conditioning and of the equipping in the secret place. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. David, I'm sure, found the secret place in the heart of God as he was out with the sheep so many hours. And I'm sure that as the breezes came by, I cannot feel a breeze, but what I think is the Holy Ghost. It is as the Holy Ghost to me. Everything I see reminds me of my Father. Every bird that sings, I say, oh, there's one praising. Every flower that blooms and pours forth the emanating perfume of his presence is a ministry of him to me and to this earth. And people trip and run right over these things, and they are designed to point the heart to God. They're designed to point the wayward, hurting soul, the confused, lost individual, to God the Creator. All of these things I'm sure David enjoyed and learned from as he sat there out on the hills with his flocks, and he could write as only he could write. He had experiences that were so precious, that were so intimate, and oh my, how we need to come into the place of intimacy with the Father. That intimacy, you know, as the sister was bringing forth the word, and as Brother Tommy brought forth the word, the Lord made me to know the prayer closet is to be built in to us. It's not to be a little 4x4 room that we go into and shut the door. There is that, but he made me to know the prayer closet is built within. So I'm in it, and he is the prayer closet. Hallelujah. And we carry it with us so that we are instant in season and out of season. There is no season that he is not in order. Hallelujah. And as we are in communion, and I love that old song, I come to the garden alone when the dew is still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ears. Oh, it's so sweet. The birds are so singing. Hallelujah. To hear that voice, that still, small, wee voice that we hear with our hearts. But we must have our hearts hungry and thirsty and attuned toward him. So David wrote in chapter 27, verse 4, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David knew that he was in the temple when he was out there. I really believe that he did. To inquire of in his temple. Then verse 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. If we are seeking the face of God, if we are seeking the eyes of God, then he will truly be able to guide us with his eyes and not with the bit and the bridle as he does a mule or a horse, because we are to hear his voice. But he did say, my sheep hear my voice. And he did not say, my lambs, my sheep hear my voice. And this speaks of maturity. This speaks of acquaintanceship with him. As we grow up into him, we will recognize the urgings that come within us. Now, then Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, the second verse, you don't need to go there. You know it by heart, no doubt. But he said, I go to prepare a place for you. For years, I pictured streets just like the earth, only more beautiful, and carpentry work going on every hand. After all, he was a carpenter. So I just saw them hammering and nailing and all of this up there, and I overlooked that he spoke these worlds into existence with a word, with one word, and with one word, he is keeping the maintenance up. He is holding, you know, all things consist. He's maintaining it. You know, there's maintenance on this building here. I see it's ongoing, and it's been greatly built up since we were here. But I see the maintenance looks pretty good around here. Everything's clean. Looks like everything's got a fresh paint job. There will be no maintenance in this place, for it is supernatural and it happens just like that. But Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And finally it dawned upon me in the last year that this was not a mansion on a street over yonder somewhere, but this is speaking. And, you know, Thomas said, well, where are you going, Lord? We don't know. He said, I am the way. He gave him a strange answer. He said, you know the way. You know the way. I am the way. So that's all you need to know. Last night we went over to some friend's house from here, and we didn't know the way, and Tommy didn't know the way. But Bill did. So we got in our car, and Bill got in his van, and we just followed Bill because he knew the way. And so we just kept our eyes on. That's just how simple it is. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your heart set up on him, and he will lead you in the all truth. Hallelujah, if you're teachable, and if you want to know the truth. He said, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so, Jesus, this place is a supernatural place. It is a position. It is a position. It is a supernatural place. And you know what? You don't wait till you die to get there. It is waiting for you there now. Many of you know the way to the secret place, and you enter in there. That is the place and the position of power. That is the place and the position of authority. And as I go in through Jesus into that place, well, it's my heavenly seat. It's my seat in the heavenlies, in the spiritual dimension. God is a spirit. We're made in his image, and we are basically spirit, but we end up thinking we're mostly physical and mental, mostly mind or soul and body. But we are far more spirit than we are this other stuff. The spirit in us is what's holding us together anyway. So ought we not to pay a little more attention to spiritual things and seek after that? So as we enter in, and one more thing, and I'll be closing. A long time ago, the Lord gave me this interesting. He gave me an excitement and a curiosity about this business of the Urim and the Thummim. And in those days, there were a little thing that, like a little thong that the priests wore about their neck, and they had something. I read in another book about it. There's a book on precious stones that I happen to have, and it mentioned the Urim and the Thummim in this book on rubies and topazes and diamonds and all these things. And they were some kind of a precious stone, and it is thought that when they ask God a question, these things would flash or reflect light or do something to convey if the answer was yes or no. And they wouldn't move till they consulted with God. Did you know that today you and I sit here with the Urim and the Thummim built into us? It is built into our hearts, and that is the thing that it still flashes to.
Hallelujah. Isn't a flash of light light? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will flash on you when you're supposed to do something. He'll put a little dark spell in there. If you're not, he'll just put a little cloud. There'll be dullness of that Urim and that Thummim. If it's a no. And if it's yes, you'll feel an excitement. He leads and guides you by the Holy Ghost within you. And as you respond, if you will dare to seek him, he will give you an excitement. Or he will cause you to know his mind if you will take the time to ask him. How many mistakes are made because we do not seek after him? We do not ask him, Lord, what's your opinion on this matter? We don't have a consultation with him. So we should ask before we move, before we change jobs, before we sell a house, before we do anything. And we should ask his guidance and his hand over us when we go. Now then, and we are to worship him in the beauty of holiness in this place. This perfection and light is within us. And with that in us, and Jesus in us, and the Holy Ghost in us, all of Godhead in fullness dwells in us. Did you know that? And if we will only come into that dimension, I believe that we're living in a day when some will be perfected. Because I believe there's a scripture that says something without them or without him, we will not. It was talking about Jesus being perfect, but he said he would not be perfect without us. And that's because we're his body. And he's the head, but he doesn't want to go around just a head. He wants arms and legs and feet and a whole body joined to him. That's just the way it is. And he's perfect. Be ye perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. He would not have commanded it if it were not possible. And by walking with him and listening to him, we shall be sold. Hallelujah. I feel to tell this one little incident, and then I'll close. It's about being led of the Holy Spirit. One night I'd been ministering in Chinook, Kansas for a revival of probably 4 or 5 days. And we came home. I was tired. It was midnight. I went to bed and went right immediately to sleep, but I wakened back up. And I've had a restlessness in me. Something was restless. But see, we need to learn. So many people, they run and take a Valium tablet right then. God forbid. You know, impatient, want peace in the hand. When there's peace on the inside, if you'll just wait for it. And sometimes he's got something else besides peace. There's a duty to be done. So I don't take any kinds of pills, mind you. That's not for me. I long ago tried them all, and that's not for me. But I've got everything I need in him. Well, I laid there, and my mind thought, what is wrong? So I recited the 23rd Psalm. And then I prayed, and then I prayed in tongues, and then I rebuked all spirits of insomnia. You know how you do. And then I thought, well, this is still not getting any better. And I mean, something in me was just beginning to churn more and more. So I said, I think God wants me to pray. So, and I didn't have a thing in my mind to pray for. All was well, as far as I knew. But I flung back that cover, and the minute my feet hit the floor, I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell upon me, and I began to pray. In a loud voice, or as loud as I could, you know, to wake up in the middle. My husband was out of the bedroom. I'd gone in there because I was keeping him awake. And I start down the hall, and the Holy Ghost was all over me. And then it dawned on me in about 2 seconds that God truly had intercession for me. I didn't know what, but I began to feel great emotion rising up within me. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And sometimes the fervency comes, and you don't know what it's for. Now, in the natural, there are some folk who think they've gone crazy. But I know my God, and I know how he operates. So as I yielded to the Holy Ghost, he got up, and he's standing there in his BBDs watching me go up and down the hall. And he says, what's wrong with you? I said, I don't know, but God has called me to pray. There's something wrong, and there's some need to pray. And as I prayed and went on back, and he watched, he said, are you sure you're all right? I said, I'm fine. By this time, I was having tears in my voice. So I continued on. It lasted about an hour. I finally went way back to the other end of my house in my office and shut the door. And there I could really let the hammer down. You know, this word is a hammer. And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I let the tears fly. And I let him pour through me whatever he wanted to. And then I found myself, I went over to the patio doors and looked out at the night sky, and I began to say, Satan, I bind you up. Satan, I snarl your efforts. Come down from your high assignment. It won't happen. It won't happen. It's nullified. Your assignment is canceled. I confuse you. I put you to confusion. I put your forces to confusion. This is the way I began to pray. And in my natural mind, I had no earthly idea of who or what I was praying for. And as I went on and on, then it stopped. I felt peace. Just like you turned off the shower. Just like you turned off the faucet. I went and I fell on my knees to make sure that everything was done.
I said, well, Lord, I said, I lost an hour's sleep here, but I said, someday I might find out what this is all about. And I knew it was God. And in my mind, I didn't figure I'd ever find out. I didn't figure I'd ever know. And I was a little disappointed because I hoped I'd known. I was laid down. I said, well, Lord, if it pleases you, let me know. You let me know. That was Thursday night. Friday came and went. Saturday came. And Saturday night, my husband and I left our home and went up to our place at the lake where we draw apart from the world. And we sat down. He said, you know, he said, a strange thing happened at work yesterday. The first time we got to talk. He said, there was a terrible accident. And he said, Tim was nearly killed. That's our son. He said, Larry, the tire man, my husband owns a tire store, was putting a great big tire on a semi-truck wheel. And they didn't get it on, or it didn't fit or something. And Timothy, who usually is in the office answering the phone and such, was out there helping him. Timothy was leaned over this tire truck helping. And the phone rang. And a split second after Timothy went to answer the phone, the tire blew up. That thing shot up with a great explosion. Went up and hit the ceiling, knocking the lights out. And ricocheted around in there like a mad devil. Nobody was hurt. And he told me, he said, you know, he said, I wondered if that wasn't what you were praying about. And I got the witness instantaneously. Hallelujah. Praise the name of our God. The people that do know their God will do exploits, but you've got to come into the secret place. You've got to dwell there, and you've got to carry it about with you. You've got to go about as a double-minded person, almost. Not double-minded, single-minded, but with your mind set on the Spirit of the Lord. Listening for him. What has he got in store for you that day? What has he got in mind? I feel to stop now. I probably should have stopped a lot sooner, Tommy. Forgive me. God bless you. It's been my pleasure to be here with you. You've just been a joy and a delight, and I've been blessed. And I pray that you press into that place. And we love you and look forward to seeing you again. In Jesus' name.
Well, let's stand just a second. We're not going to share too long. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you again, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the love of Jesus that's in our hearts, been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And God, we pray today that your Spirit will minister life to us through your word. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Let's turn for a few minutes to Isaiah 45. Isaiah chapter 45. I appreciate that word Sister Fox brought. Isaiah 45. We'd like for you to continue to pray for us as we go out and minister, and that God would allow us to reach more in the Tulsa area with this kingdom message. You know, the churches need this message. Individuals, churches, whoever. In Isaiah 45, look in verse... let's see here. I said 45, I believe I'm right. Yeah, 45:11. Everybody read it with me. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. Now I'll read it again. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Now notice who's speaking. The Lord, the Holy One of Israel, our Maker. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Now, first of all, I'd like to tell you what that word son or sons there means. It means a soldier. And let me tell you, not everybody in the church are soldiers. It means one who is valiant. Think of Gideon. It is one who is worthy. Jesus talked about those who were worthy, those who prayed. And it means very fruitful. It means a man. I mean, oh, God's raising a man up. It means a mighty one. But it also means an anointed one. Praise the Lord. And I believe the sons that God is raising up are all of that. Praise the Lord. Now, he said here that we are to ask of things to come concerning his sons. I mean, oh, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Turn it around. Those that are not led by the Spirit of God, they're not the sons. Isn't that correct? Creation is groaning again today for the manifestation or the revelation of the sons of God. The Bible talks about the adoption of sons or the placing of a son. And, of course, that's in the Father's time. The Scripture says He's bringing many sons to glory. To glory. Not only is the glory in them, but He's bringing them into glorification. There is justification, there is sanctification, and there is glorification. The Bible says that His sons are sons of light. They're sons of the day. They are peacemakers. Matthew 5. Let's look at that here just a minute. In Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Praise the Lord. And we know that many don't understand sonship. But, brethren, there's got to be a lot of teaching on it because we have come to the end of the age. And at the end of this age, God is raising up those sons that He's going to use. And in Matthew 5, look with me, please, in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called, yours says children, but it should be sons. They shall be called the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? The peacemakers. They can come into a situation where there's two warring factors, and by the word of the Lord and by the knowledge that God has put in them, they can bring peace into a situation. How many know we need those sons today? Because I'm telling you, there's warring every place, isn't there? Churches are being split. Homes being split. Individuals, you know, leaving God. But the sons of God are peacemakers. Now, let's ask ourselves, are we a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Come on. But if we're a peacemaker, we're heading towards sonship. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I believe that. Now, the Bible said the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. Now, turn to Matthew 13. I want to show you there are two kinds of sons here. Matthew 13, and look at verse 38. Jesus, in verse 37, talks about sowing the good seed, which is the Son of Man. And in verse 38, He said, the field is the world, the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. Now, it says children, but it's sons of the kingdom. The good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons, come on, of the wicked one. And we certainly don't want to be in his camp, do we? The enemy that sold them is the devil, that is, he sold the tares, the harvest, as at the end of the age, the word world means age, and the reapers are the angels. So God is telling us there's two kinds of sons. Sons of the kingdom and sons of the wicked one. All right? Now turn to Luke 20. Luke 20 in the Scripture. Praise the Lord. And look at verse 35. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. I mean, no, there's coming another age. Hallelujah. And the resurrection from the dead, neither married nor given in marriage. Verse 36. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. But how many know in the angelic host, there are different ranks. There are some angels more powerful. I heard Brother Thompson one time saying he saw a large angel in Catherine Kuhlman's meeting. And then he saw a small angel writing or taking notes. So there are different ranks we know in the angelic host of God. But how many know there's an order also in the resurrection? How many know that scripture? All right, keep your place. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, now, I don't want to go too heavy in this. Let's read verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Well, we know our Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head, rose from the dead. We know His firstfruits. But how many know He also has a body called the body of Christ? Amen. And that's called also first fruits. Do you know that? Revelation 14 tells you first fruits is the 144,000. Now, verse 21. For since man came death, by man, this is Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so what? In Christ shall all be made alive. So if you're going to be made alive, you've got to be where? In Christ, in the anointed one. All right, now notice what it says here in verse 23. But every man in his own order. And the word order is a military word. It means tagma in the Greek. It means rank or his group or his battalion. And everyone is in a different group or battalion or rank, you see. We're not all in the same category necessarily in the church. Isn't that right? But every man in his own order. But whatever order you're in, you can only come forth in Christ. Isn't that right? Christ, what? The first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. And remember, Christ is Christ the head, and there's Christ the body. And I said last night, first fruits, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then, or afterward, they which remain in their life shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, go back to Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 20 and look in verse 36. Neither can they die anymore, for they're equal to the angels and are the sons. It should be sons, not children. And are the sons of God, being the sons of the resurrection. How many heard that? It says here, sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Hallelujah. It's going to be his sons that's going to be resurrected. Are you hearing me? How many know that's already begun within us? It's already started. But he's going to finish it, isn't he? Hallelujah. Now, we know the final change is in a twinkling of an eye. But that change, how many know it should be taking place day by day, day as we grow and mature in God? Isn't that right? Yes, the final change will be out there, you see. But now we should be changing. We should be changed in this 2 or 3 days that we've been in this camp. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Now, how many know that the Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. Many brethren. Hallelujah. He is the son among the sons. How many know the Bible says, show the house to the house. If you see the first house, which is Jesus, how many know you're going to see your house? But the house, the church, cannot see anything until they see the first house. His name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's in Ezekiel. Now, the Bible said, as the apple tree is among the trees of the wood. As the apple tree is among the trees of the wood. How many know where trees are righteousness? The planting of the Lord. He is the apple tree among the trees of the wood. I got that wrong. Turn to Song of Solomon 2:3. I got to look that up. Song of Solomon 2:3. I wrote a word down wrong somewhere here. We'll find it. Chapter 2, verse 3. Song of Solomon 2:3. All right. Yes, as the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved, there it is, so is my beloved among the sons, it's Jesus among the sons, I set down under, that submission, his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. I mean, no, that's his nature. That's his nature. Hallelujah. He's among the trees of the wood. It's Christ in you. Come on. Now turn to Revelation 21. I want to give you a scripture here the Lord's given me with that. Revelation 21. Praise the Lord. Revelation 21. And look at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's with you. And that's with me. And he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Praise the Lord. So the tabernacle of God is with men. That's with His people. Glory to God. So it is Christ the head among Christ the body. Praise the Lord. Now, again, he said, ask of me in Isaiah 45:11, where he started, ask of me of things to come concerning my son. Now turn to three scriptures or so here with me. Turn to St. John 16. Let's see how this is possible. John 16, verse 12. Listen to what Jesus said. I have many things to say unto you. This is speaking to his disciples. But you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? I mean, no, not a one of us have all truth, but we can have a love for the truth. And if you have a love of the truth, the Holy Spirit then can guide us into all truth. Isn't that right? For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear. Well, the Holy Spirit will hear from Jesus and the Father, and that shall he speak. He shall do something. Show you things to come. The Holy Spirit. Do you believe he desires to do that? Yes. He desires that you and I have this experience. Praise the Lord. Now, turn to Revelation 4. And let's look at the first four verses. John said, after this, I looked, and behold, there was a door opened to me in heaven, as the first voice, which I heard as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will do something. Show you things which must be hereafter, future events. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now go back to chapter 1, just a second. We're coming back to chapter 4. I mean, chapter 1, verse 1 speaks of somebody. The revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, he is the Son of God. You'll never see the sons until you see the Son. Because without the Son, there'll be no Son. Isn't that right? And this word revelation here is the same word for manifestation in Romans 8, where all creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But right here, John sees the revelation or manifestation of the Son of God, Jesus. Amen? You can't separate. Now, and he also sees in chapter 1, he sees Jesus, the Son, but he sees the corporate Son as well in chapter 1 of Revelation. But look down in verse 9 of chapter 1. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in something, tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that's called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why he was exiled, for those two things. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit. I was where? That means he's not in the flesh, or moving in the flesh, or in the carnal. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, that's not Saturday. That's not Sunday. That's the day of the Lord that's approaching. And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. How many know that's a message? And you'll notice when he heard, and it was Jesus speaking, but look in verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned. Notice, he wasn't jerked, he wasn't yanked around, he was being turned. And that's where many of us are. We're being turned. Aren't we? And who did he behold? He beheld the Lord. And yet he beheld even the corporate Son. Praise the Lord. Because both of them is what John actually saw, but he saw the Lord first. I mean, he's the preeminent one. He is the exalted one. But he's bringing one into his likeness and into his image. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. All right, now go back to chapter 4. We see John in chapter 4 here now. Notice what he's saying here to us. He said, first of all, he said there was a door. Well, how many know the door is Christ? If any man climbs up any other way, he's a thief and a robber if he doesn't come through that door. Isn't that right? And then he said this door was open where? In heaven. How many know that's the realm of the Spirit? And what was John? He was caught up in the Spirit. And then he said here in chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1, that he heard a trumpet talking with him. And, of course, that's the message coming to John. Well, who's John? John was the son of thunder. John is a type of the overcomer, isn't it? Huh? And notice he heard the rhema, come up hither, come up high. And I will show you things to come, or hereafter, things which must be hereafter. And John said something in verse 2, and immediately said, I was where? In the Spirit. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, out of the natural, into the supernatural. Praise the Lord. And chapter 4, verse 2, what was the first thing he beheld? He beheld the throne of God in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. Praise the Lord. So John is a type of the overcomer that is caught up to the throne. Isn't that right? We said that last night. Praise the Lord. Now, you cannot separate the overcomer from the throne. Can you? Look in chapter 3, verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant, he's going to give you a grant, to sit with me in my throne, that means in the midst of the throne, even as I also, Jesus said what? Overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The same promise to Jesus is given to the overcomer, isn't that right? And so you cannot separate the overcomer from the throne. And John was caught up to the throne. John is a type of the overcomer. Well, somebody said, well, that's the rapture in chapter 4. We're gone. No, he's caught up in the Spirit. Amen. And by the way, who'd care what happens anyway, whether it be in the natural or the Spirit? I mean, you know, if you had this experience. I mean, whatever happened to you, who would care? Anybody care? Paul said one time he was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. He said, I don't know. Who would care? You'd be in his presence. Amen? Whatever happened. But John was, he actually said he was caught up here in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And he saw one on the throne. And just as John was caught up to the throne, he's going to catch up his overcomers to that throne. Now, look in chapter 4 there. And notice also what else he said in verse 4, praise the Lord, and he describes what the one looked like on the throne. And remember, Jesus said, as I overcome and sit down, I sat down on the throne with my Father. And he seeing the one on the throne, he was identified with the one on the throne. We've got to be identified with Jesus, amen, as an overcomer or whoever we are. Verse 4, round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in what? Right, a white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now look in chapter 3 just a minute. Notice they had white raiment. Look in chapter 3 of Revelation, and this will identify who they are. Look in Revelation 3, verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled or soiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in. And the 24 elders had white raiment. That identifies them, whoever they are, as overcomers. Amen. They were clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So if we overcome, how many know there is the, we will not be blotted out. See how important it is to overcome? Hallelujah. Now, I don't want to be blotted out. How about you? Now go back to chapter 4 just a minute. Look in verse 4 again. He also said these elders had on their heads crowns of what? Of gold. Crowns of gold. Praise the Lord. Now, look in chapter 5 just a minute. Verse 6 through 10. John talks about the seven spirits here, and but in verse 8, he talks about these elders falling down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. I mean, on Revelation 14, there's a people worshiping the Lord with harps. Isn't that right? And notice they had golden vials full of odors. This is incense, which are the prayers of saints. And they're doing something. They're singing a new song, saying they are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. What's the new? What's the 144,000 doing in Revelation 14? They are singing what? A new song. They are singing a new song. Amen? For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Now look at this. By thy blood out of what? Every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. The 24 were saying that. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall do something. Reign on the earth. You ever heard people say we're going to reign eternally in heaven? Bible said there's a people going to reign on the earth. Now, I'm not saying you won't have access to heaven. But there's a people going to reign on the earth. The kings and the priests. Or that kingdom of priests that Brother Miller was talking about last night. Isn't that right? Praise God. Amen. And you know, back in chapter 4, if you look there, it says they had crowns. But in chapter 4, the latter part of verse 10 and 11, it says that these 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne, worshipped him. They're worshipers that lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They are worshipers, and they cast their crowns before him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, how many know that Jesus has promised crowns to the overcomers? Now, first of all, I want to show you something in chapter 6. I've got a few more scriptures here before we close. Praise the Lord. How about 10 more minutes? Is that all right? 12 maybe. Something like that. All right. Somewhere in that area. Now, in chapter 6, and before you go to chapter 6, look in chapter 5, and look at verse 6. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of this throne, and of the beast, and of the elders, stood a lamb. Tell me his name, brethren. Jesus. As it had been slain. How many know he was slain for us? His blood was shed for you and I. Praise the Lord. And you'll notice he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, go back to chapter 1 just a minute. Look in chapter 1. Look at verse 4 of Revelation. You'll notice that John is saying, grace to you, church, and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So, number one, the seven spirits of God are before what? The throne. That's where the overcomer is going to sit. Now, this is a sevenfold manifestation of the one Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? There's only one Holy Spirit. But he'll manifest himself in seven different ways. It's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 11 and other scriptures. But let me say it this way. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah talks about those seven spirits. Isaiah speaks of redemption. Are you hearing me? Redemption in Isaiah. Zechariah speaks of those seven spirits of God, and Zechariah speaks of restoration. And here in the book of Revelation, John's talking about the seven spirits, and how many know in the book of Revelation you find revelation? So you got redemption, restoration, and revelation when you're dealing with the seven spirits of God. Now, look also in chapter 1, and let's look at, chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things have he that hath the seven spirits of God. So the seven spirits are before the throne, and the Lamb has the seven spirits. They're in him. And chapter 4, verse 5. Chapter 4, verse 5. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning again before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now there is a people, I believe God's raising up, that's going to have God's fullness. Now, Jesus had God's fullness in him as a man. But how many know this is a corporate man we're talking about? Now, look in chapter 5. Now, again, you'll notice again in chapter 5 that this lamb who had been slain, having seven horns, that's all power. Horn speaks of authority and power. He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. And the seven eyes is all seeing, all revelation, all illumination, which are the seven spirits of God, and notice, sent forth into all the earth. So the seven spirits are before the throne, they're with the Lamb, and yet he's sending forth the seven spirits into all the earth. And the key we need to understand here is we're dealing with the seals, and as we see the seals loose, we're going to see this fullness begin to come into the earth. And we know there's only one can loose the seals, and that's the Lamb, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But how many know He's going to use people, though? Isn't that right? Now, in chapter 6, verse 1, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals. Who opened the seals? The Lamb. And I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. It actually means just come. Verse 2, I saw and behold a white horse. And I want to tell you, this is not Antichrist. It is the gospel going forth into all, oh, hallelujah, the earth. Woo! I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. Now, if you go back to Habakkuk chapter 3, let's look at this bow just a minute. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 9, it says, thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. What's the bow? The word. Hallelujah. Now come back to chapter 6. I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him. Now, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. There is only one thing that can conquer in your life and my life, and that's the Word of God. Amen. Now, let's go back to Zechariah 6. Remember, Revelation 6, Zechariah 6. Let's look at the white horse rider here and then in Revelation. You can only interpret Scripture with Scripture and make sense and not offend the Scriptures. Zechariah 6, verse 1. I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots. How many know four is the number of the world? Creation. I mean, what God's doing is going to be worldwide. And from between two mountains, mountains speaks of power and authority. Of course, it speaks of people, but it speaks of power and authority. And the mountains were mountains of brass. That means something's going to be judged. I mean, when God lets loose the seal, something's going to be judged. Chapter 6, verse 2. In the first chariot, this prophet saw the red horses. In the second, black horses. In the third, white horses. And in the fourth chariot, grizzled and bay horses. Then I answered and said to him, to the angel that talked with me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said to me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go towards which country? How many know that the black horse represents spiritual darkness? And tonight, how many know in Russia there is a lot of spiritual darkness? But thank God, notice what else, and the white go forth after the black. Tonight, if there wasn't the white horse that went that direction, there'd be no gospel in Russia. But thank God there's an underground church there. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, go back to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And look at verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him was called faithful and true, and righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were... Now notice here now, it's many crowns. In chapter 6 and chapter 14, there's only one crown. But here it's many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Amen. And that white horse rider is Jesus going out through the earth through a people, the gospel of Jesus Christ, going throughout the earth, conquering and conquering. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Now, Why did I say all that? I said that the overcomers are the 24 elders cast their crowns before the Lord. Isn't that right? Now, I want to show you that God has promised, just in a few scriptures, crowns to the overcomer. And I want to go to James, first of all, James chapter 1. And Jesus, of course, was the first overcomer. In chapter 6, one crown. Chapter 14 of Revelation, one crown. But in chapter 19, he had many crowns. In James 1:12. Notice the scripture. It's important that we see this. James 1:12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. I mean, when you're tested, when you're tried, when you're tempted, if you endure and you're faithful, he's going to give you a crown. Amen? Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. Now notice the scripture here. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He's talking to the church, Jesus is. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. That's just how many know some prisons that you get into is not just 10 days. That's just a manner of speech. Isn't that right? It may be 10 years. And there's all kind of prisons. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. To the faithful unto death. I mean, there's a death to self. And yet, we know there's even a physical death. All right, Revelation 12:11. Revelation 12:11. Last scripture here on this. Notice the scripture. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of the testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Who are we talking about? Overcomers. Overcomers. And Jesus warned us in Revelation 3:11. I'll just read it to you here. He warned us here in this scripture. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast what you have, that no man take thy crown. You can lose it. And how many know Paul talked about the incorruptible crown that he sought? And he also said that he was going to give a crown to those who loved his appearing. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to say one thing in closing. Isaiah 45:11. Let's go back and read the scripture. And I'm going to give the last part of it just real quick. 2 minutes here. And we're done. Isaiah 45:11. You'll notice he said, concerning my sons, he says here in verse 11, ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands command ye me. The work of my hands. He's asking us to ask him of things to come concerning those sons, but also the work of his hands. Now let's see the work of his hands and what he's dealing with. Look in Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29 verse 23. 29:23. But when he seeth his children, the work of my hands in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. Praise the Lord. And they also, these children that erred in spirit or were wrong in spirit, shall come to something. That's the mind of the Lord, understanding. And they that rebelled and murmured shall learn doctrine, his doctrine. Can you hear me? Now look in Isaiah 60. Let's see the work of his hands here. Isaiah 60, and it's too long for me to get in this teaching, but here's the teaching all by itself. Isaiah 60 and verse 21 and 22. The people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch. I mean, he's the vine, we are the branches. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation, I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. I believe that can refer to America, the natural, but I believe it also refers to the sons of God. The branch, the work of God's hand. Hallelujah. So, let me show you one other work of His hands. Jeremiah 18, this is the last two scriptures more, and we're done. Jeremiah 18:3. We saw this the other night, but let's look at it. Here's the work of God's hand. Chapter 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. We dealt with that the other night on the tape, first night. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And we told you that the wheel represented a midwife stool. Something is going to be born. Something's going to come to birth. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred where? In the hand of the potter, in his hand. How many know he can mar you or make you? So he made it again unto another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came, so forth, and saying, verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. How many know that refers to us today? I said that refers to us today. We're in His hand. Now look in Lamentations, last scripture with that. Lamentations 4:1. This is the last scripture I'll give you today. Hallelujah. Lamentations chapter 4. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. 1 and 2. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. Look at verse 2. The precious sons of Zion. How many know they're precious in God's sight? They may be despised in man's sight, but they're precious in God's sight. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold. That's the best gold. That's His nature. How are they esteemed as earthen pitchers? Here it is. The work of the hand of the potter. Are you hearing me? His sons are the work of His hand. Thank you, Jesus. So He says we're to ask Him concerning things to come, concerning His sons, that which is the work of His hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Lord, again today we thank You for those sons that You're bringing forth in all the earth, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that You've commanded us that we are to ask You concerning things to come and the work of these sons. They are the work of Your hands. Lord, You're doing it. It is not man's doing. It is God's doing. And again, I thank You today, Lord, for Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I thank You for Brother and Sister Miller. And Lord, all the precious people that's come and all that You've done here, we thank You, we give You glory and honor and praise. For Thou art worthy, Lord. We ask You continually, Lord, bless the camp. We ask that You would pour in the finances, Lord, to meet every need. God, bless this camp and the people that work here and live here. And Father, we pray that in the meetings ahead in this year that You would continually bless, Lord, and send in the ministries that need to come here with a word from God. And send the people in, Lord. And now, Lord, today as we look to You, we ask if there be any here today that have needs of any type, Lord, in closing, that we will just open the altars up, Lord. Anyone that's hurting in their body or in their mind, or they may have a need, Lord, just to pray about, we'll open the altars up at this time for any of those needs in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a physical need or any type of need, just let come up a few of you and let us minister to you. Not everybody today, now just some of you. Now, you know, don't just come be coming. I mean, if you have a need, praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Fox gone? Praise the Lord. All right. Oh, there she is. I thought you'd gone. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's minister to these people here. Brother Miller. Come on, Mary. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Okay. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Is there anybody else here today that does not know Jesus in your heart? Have your head bowed just a minute, please. Is there anyone here today that does not know Jesus? Would you raise your hand? Anyone in this building who does not know Jesus as Savior? Anyone? Praise the Lord. Amen. God wants, He wants to save you. Hmm? Right here? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do you know the Lord, son?
Yes, sir.
Has he been saved? Oh, okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray for this young man right now, Lord, that you would touch him, Lord, and minister life to him in the name of Jesus. Dear God, pour in your love into him and save his soul. Save his spirit. Save his heart, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Just ask him to come in, son. Ask him to come into your heart, in your own words. Amen. Yes. Amen. Just open up to him. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me my sins, Lord. Cleanse me by your blood, Lord. I take Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died, Jesus, and you rose again. Thank you for coming in, Lord. Amen. 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 Raise your hands up now. Thank him. Can you do it? Thank him. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Lord. Handa bakatara bahaya.
Give him wisdom in the days ahead.
Yes, Lord.
Give him understanding.
Yes, Lord.
Desire to read.
Yes, oh God. Yes, God. Handa bakatara bahanda
bakai.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Take time, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Study your word and be a light.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Thank you for it.
Amen. Bless this young man, Lord.
We bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Bless him.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Father, we thank you for the privilege we've had these days to magnify Jesus, who is Lord of lords and King of kings. And it is no secret what he can do as we yield our lives and our spirits unto him, to serve him and to walk before him, and to apply his word to our lives that we may walk before him in righteousness for his name's sake. Father, I pray your blessings upon these thy people. Be with them, watch over them. The angels of the Lord to be with them, that they will rejoice as they travel on the highways and the byways to wherever they return to, till they return again, Lord. They praise you wherever they go. They'll have a song in their heart. They will glorify the Lord Jesus. Then someday as they come back, they'll come back here to praise us again, to praise you again together as we praise thee here in this place. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you've done for each one of us. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.